praise the Lord. You know what? That's bad news for some people because that means that God will always be telling them the same thing. That's good news for many because they are banking on God's word and they're basing their eternal destiny on his truth. And it's a good thing for those in that position that God never changes. He's always the same. Things are not going to vacillate and variate and switch up and be unpredictable because he's an unchangeable God. And immutability, as I said, is one of God's basic divine attributes. He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6 is where God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. They would be destroyed by now. God would have had to judge the children of Israel if not for his immutability. He promised that they would always be a nation. And so because of his immutability, he didn't judge and destroy them like he might have on many different occasions. Because of their idolatry and their unfaithfulness, because he doesn't change, God's word is always the same. Praise the Lord. Well, would you open your Bible, please, to Zechariah? Zechariah chapter 10. We're going to read just one verse as we begin this message this evening. Zechariah, just before Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 10, verse 3. And here the word of God says these words, mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock and the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle. And the first part of the verse is what I want us to focus on. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds. And I'd like us to consider the shepherd and the shepherds in the Old Testament tonight. And I think it's interesting that they're mentioned over 80 times in the Bible in the Old Testament. And most of these references are to spiritual shepherding. And what I mean by that is the opposite would be watching sheep, keeping sheep. But most of the shepherd references in the Bible are about spiritual oversight, leading and feeding. And these are very serious matters in God's eyes, and God assigned men to this position. And last Sunday night, we examined the great shepherd in the 23rd Psalm, and tonight we're going to see God's assigned overseers, particularly in the Old Testament, for the nation of Israel. Let's pray as we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us and give us understanding. Help us to see the truths that are associated with the shepherds in Old Testament times. And Father, we know that these things are for examples to us. 1 Corinthians teaches us this, that we should learn from the examples that are set in Old Testament times. And Father, I pray that we would be instructed and we would learn many things from our study this evening on the shepherd and the shepherds and the shepherding responsibility in the Old Testament of the spiritual leaders that you appointed to the people. Bless our time together in the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I guess it would be helpful for the people back in the sound booth if I put this wireless microphone on. The first thing that we should notice is that God did not have anything good to say about those who neglected his flock. He didn't have anything good to say about them. Look just a little bit further in Zechariah chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 3, the Bible says, there is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled, a voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. And then in verse 5, he says, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty, and they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. And this is an example of unfaithful shepherding. Look at Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. We're going to see lots of scripture tonight because I said there are many, many references in the scriptures to Old Testament Israel's shepherdships. And in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6, the Bible says this, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." And yes, shepherds are supposed to feed, but that's not all that they were assigned of God to do. Look with me a little further in Jeremiah chapter 6. Back up again, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 3. Yes, the shepherds did feed. They did give the people spiritual instruction, but that certainly is not all that they were supposed to be doing. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 3 says, "The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place." And so the shepherds were to feed. And look at chapter 50 of Jeremiah. Chapter 50 of Jeremiah and verse 6. The Bible says, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." And we read this verse just a few moments ago. But the Bible says that these men were to feed, certainly, but they also were to give an example. And the Lord is the example. He leads his sheep in green pastures beside still waters. Remember, we saw this just the other night, last Sunday night, in the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And the shepherd is supposed to feed. He is the example. And 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that Christ is the example for believers. And particularly for the ones who are leading God's people. They are supposed to feed. But the shepherds were also overseers and protectors and guides. And God was greatly displeased with the people, with the spiritual shepherds who did not protect and guide the sheep. They were placed for this express purpose. And God's people still need to be led and not just fed. And the shepherd was one who fed, but the shepherd was also one who led. Look with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16. This is interesting. When it was time for Elijah to be replaced by Elisha, we see a lot of Bible examples. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16 says, "And Jehu," this is God giving Elijah an assignment, "Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." And this is an example of somebody whom God called and he led to appoint his successor. And this is a principle that we see in the Old Testament. God did this with Elijah and Elisha. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 and verse 11, that these things were our examples. And we take instruction from Old Testament examples like these. God did not have anything good to say about those who neglected his flock, and the shepherds were to protect and lead the flock. Look with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And there are some examples here, some principles that we should pay attention to, because God was very specific about spelling these things out in the Word of God. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1, here is a blanket condemnation of the shepherds of God's flock. "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks, yes, they ought to feed. Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened. They're supposed to help and heal the diseased. And verse 4 also says, neither have ye healed that which was sick. They were supposed to, neither have you bound up that which was broken. They were supposed to bind up the broken. And verse 4 later it says, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away to bring back those that go astray. Neither have ye sought that which was lost to seek out that which is lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them, and they were not to rule with force or cruelty, but they were to help heal the disease. They were to bind up the broken. They were to bring back that which had gone astray. They were to seek the lost. And look at verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And you know, this kind of fleshes itself out in so many different applications even today. And we're not talking necessarily about the way this works today. But the Bible says that the people in the Old Testament were scattered because they did not have worthy shepherds to watch out for them and to bind them up and to bring them together. And so they were scattered. They would not stay together as a flock because they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Verse 6 says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. And there in verse 6, he says, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Here he mentions that they're to be led to a place of safety. And who can argue this? Who can argue but the shepherds were supposed to lead the people in a safe direction to a place where they would be secure and where they would be cared for? Look at verse 7, therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and not of my flock. And here are selfish people who are seeking for themselves. Instead, they should be protecting the flock from those who would harm the flock, from those who would scatter the flock. And that was a major part of the shepherd's responsibility, besides just leading them in green pastures and besides still waters to feed. They were to lead and to protect and to guide, and the shepherd should do these things. Look at verse 9. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. He says here that they were to take responsibility for the flock. And this kind of reminds me of Hebrews 13:17, where the Bible says that the leader of the people, the spiritual leader, should be followed and obeyed because he watches for the soul as they that must give account. There's responsibility there. And a question that's important came to my mind here some weeks ago. If there's no responsibility, if there's no authority, how can there be accountability? If there's no authority, how can there be accountability? If all a pastor is supposed to do is just feed, then how in the world can he be held accountable for how those people respond? How can he watch? How can he be as one who must give account and responsible for the direction that they take if he has no authority? Here in verse 10, the Bible teaches us that these shepherds were to take responsibility for the flock. And a shepherd not doing his job is cause for the Lord's wrath. Remember, we read in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 3, the text verse for this message, where God says, I am angry with the shepherds. I am against the shepherds because they're not doing their job. They're not doing what I called them to do. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And the Lord's servant not doing his job is cause for God to become upset and wrathful. Look back to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. And then in chapter 33, again in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 2, the Bible mentions this again. God mentions this to Ezekiel again in chapter 33, verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for a watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at thy mouth and warn them from me. And this whole passage of Scripture is about, yes, it's about personal responsibility, but it's also about the job of the watchman to warn the people. And if he doesn't, he's responsible. And back in Ezekiel chapter 3, God says, I've set thee a watchman on the wall. And if you don't give warning, you're responsible. You're accountable to God. There is accountability there. A shepherd not doing his job is one who's not sounding the warning, who's not helping the people in their time of need, who's not protecting them as he ought to protect them. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. I've got 15 different things that the shepherd is supposed to be doing. And in 2 Chronicles, we see another one. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 16. Here the word of God says this. And Zadok the son of Ahitub and Abimelech the son of Abiathar, even the priests, and Shavsha was scribe. And this is not the reference that I wanted. Maybe it's 1 Chronicles chapter 18. I think I just read from 1 Chronicles, didn't I? 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 16. My apologies. 2 Chronicles 18, 16 says this. Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. Sheep having not a shepherd. And this is a serious matter when sheep don't have a shepherd, because they need someone who will lead them and who will guide them. Listen to Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. God wants the shepherd to lead and to give direction besides just feed. That's not his only responsibility. And we see this over and over again in the Old Testament record, that God is angry with the sheep, with the shepherd who does not protect the sheep. In 1 Kings chapter 22, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 17, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 17, the Bible says, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. These people needed a shepherd, and they were scattered without a shepherd to help them, to watch over them. God set a man to oversee God's sheep. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. Back up just a little bit to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16. Here the Bible says in verse 16 of 1 Kings chapter 19, Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. God had it appointed for a man to lead the people, and that's always been God's purpose in the Word of God is for somebody to step forward at God's bidding and lead people. In Numbers chapter 27, verse 15, Numbers chapter 27, verse 15, the Bible says, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." And this is not derogatory or insulting to women. A godly woman doesn't want to be the leader. She doesn't want to be the one who's calling the shots. God always calls a man. And you see this pattern over and over again in the Word of God, that God wants a man to step up. God made men different than women. God made the women to be the support and the encouragers, the nurturers. God made the man to be decisive and less emotional, more analytical, and able to step up and bear the burden of leadership. And that's the way God intended for it to be. He always called a man to lead. And if you find yourself to be a weak and uncommitted or undisciplined man, you should pray that God would help you to be a strong man, because it's God's will for you to lead people. It's God's will for you to take a role of leadership at some point in your life. And that's God's appointed role for manhood. And there in Numbers chapter 27, we see that God said to Moses that God wanted to set a man over the congregation, and Moses understood that. Verse 17 says, "Which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." Do you see that? They need someone to lead. People need somebody to lead them so they won't be like sheep without a shepherd. Let's read on. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him, after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. He laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." And here is the biblical example of God setting a man to oversee his sheep. And he used Moses to do this, to set apart the next leader for the people of Israel. And this is the biblical pattern that we find. It's not enough to take sheep to a place to feed and water. People need to be led. People need to be protected. People need to be bound up. People need to be healed. People need to be directed. And we see this application over and over again in the scripture. He's not the shepherd who is the man who's called of God to lead the people is not seeking for himself, but he is desiring to protect those from those who would harm the flock, to lead the flock to a place of safety, and not to be seeking for his own self, not to have his own interests in mind, but rather he is interested in helping the people. And that's what the shepherd of Israel was supposed to be. They must be led. Look at number 14 in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I think it's interesting in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that David, who went out to face Goliath in the field, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40 that he had a shepherd's bag. The Bible says he in verse 40, he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Why did he have a shepherd's bag? Well, he protected his father's sheep. He put stones in that bag that would arm his sling. It's like a cartridge belt. He had a shepherd's bag, and it was for the purpose of protecting the father's sheep from other influences. Back up to verse 33 in this same chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine, of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Here, David was intent upon protecting the flock. He was a shepherd at heart, and so he could well write of the shepherd in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Look with me to Isaiah chapter 63. The Lord does care for his own, and he sends shepherds to guard them, not just to lead them, not just to feed them, excuse me, but also to lead them and to guard them. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 11 says, "Then he remembered the days of old and Moses, his people, saying, Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him?" And so once again, here is the expectation that there's going to be a shepherd to lead God's people. In Jeremiah 31:10, the Bible says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock." And so once again, here is the shepherd gathering the scattered flock and ministering to them. Listen, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 12. Here the Bible says, once again, this is one of the responsibilities of a shepherd. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." And God says, "I'll do this too, but for now I've got shepherds who have the responsibility to gather the people and keep them from being scattered." I remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who had compassion on the people, and he lamented because they were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. They're in Matthew, the book of Matthew. And it's God's desire that people have a shepherd, not only to feed them, but also to lead them and guide them and protect them and gather them. That's God's purpose and plan for his people today. Look at Zechariah chapter 10, and we've got a few more verses I want us to explore in this message. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2, and we read verse 3 about God's anger being kindled against the shepherds, but look at Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2, the verse just before this: "For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd." There was nobody to lead them. There was nobody to direct them. There was nobody to guide them in truth. And so they followed after idols, and they spoke vanity. And the diviners were able to deceive them because they didn't have a shepherd, somebody who was there to guide them and give them instruction. in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces." He's talking about God giving them bad shepherds. "Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." This was God's response. He would give foolish shepherds and selfish shepherds to Israel because they failed to desire the right things. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, the Bible says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." And the Lord actually used this prophecy in Zechariah chapter 13 to speak of himself. He said, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." And it was actually true. When the shepherd is lost, when the shepherd is gone, in this case, when the shepherd is smitten, the sheep don't stay together. They need someone to guide them. They need someone to lead them. And otherwise, people will sort of go their own way and do their own thing. And that would be natural if they don't have somebody who stands strong to guide them. The Lord wanted his Old Testament shepherds to do their job well, and he appointed shepherds in the Old Testament time to be spiritual leaders, not only to feed the people, but also to lead and protect them and guide them and keep them from falling and failing to false paths and false positions. That was God's purpose for the shepherd and for the sheep. And sometimes a shepherd was faithful and sometimes a shepherd was not faithful. But God appointed shepherds for this purpose. And as I said, they're named many, many times. We've seen lots of scripture tonight that speak of this principle. We're going to see shepherding in the New Testament as well before this series is over. We talked about Psalm 23, the Lord being the great shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," last Sunday night. And tonight, shepherds and shepherdship in the Old Testament. And we're going to continue in this series, seeing what God's purpose is in the shepherd/pastor office and what God has to say about such things. And we need to be instructed about such things so we know what to accept and so we know what to reject. The Bible gives us good sense and good doctrine so that we can know how we can be successful in our lives for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for truth from your word. We thank you for giving us these biblical examples. And Father, I pray tonight that you would accomplish your work in our heart and help us to see how valuable and how important it is to be a God-appointed shepherd, a person who not only feeds the flock and provides nourishment for them, but also leads them and guards them and protects them from the forces that would work to destroy the flock. Father, I pray that you would help us, and may we be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and to the truths of God's word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.